At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. In Europe, the Wall Street Journal summarizes, Eurozone inflation accelerated to a record 10.7%. That is even an extreme version of what the U.S. is struggling through. Inflation not quite double digits, but right now we work for the best. The Federal Reserve is promising to raise rates again in its November meeting within these next hours, and then perhaps again in December meeting within these next weeks. I welcome Brett Ahrens to comment first on Europe, then on London, and then to come home. Brett Ahrens at MarketWatch, who has been many weeks witnessing the turmoil in the London markets and also the anxiety in the Eurozone and the European Union because of the war, because of the supply chain, and because of what you have to say, uncertain leadership when it comes to inflation. Brett, a very good evening to you. Thank you. The Eurozone, that is the 17 countries, I believe, that use the euro rather than their native currency. The Eurozone is now experiencing inflation that as recently as last summer they couldn't see. Christine Lagarde is the head of the European Central Bank. What couldn't they see last summer that they can see now, Brett? Is there an easy way to excuse them having missed inflation? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, you've got to understand the first rule of all economics and finance and forecasting, including not only central bankers, but people on Wall Street, people in the city, people in Frankfurt, Tokyo, and all the rest of it, is you stick to the herd. You hide in the pack. It's like being a gazelle. As long as you can't get separated from the pack, you're all right. So they can basically say, look, we didn't see it, but the Fed didn't see it. And the Bank of England didn't see it. And, you know, all these other central bankers didn't see it. And Wall Street didn't see it. In fact, the bond market, bizarrely, still doesn't see it. So essentially, their defense is we didn't see it, but nobody else did either. And that works pretty well in finance, at least if in terms of protecting your own career. If you are a financial forecaster, it's a bit like those nature programs. You have to think like a gazelle or whatever, or the wildebeest. As long as you stay in the herd and the lions or the hyenas or whoever can't pick you off, can't separate you from the herd, you should be all right. So Christine Lagarde can just say, look, we didn't see it, but nor did anyone else. So what can you do?
Right. Raise rates and claim that you're going to get ahead of this. All right. We go to London. When last we spoke, there was a previous prime minister and then a previous prime minister. Boris Johnson was racing back to throw his hat in the ring, if he wears a hat. To be the prime minister again. It gets very confusing. You have to have a scorecard here. Boris Johnson was somehow rejected by his own party again, and that meant that Liz Truss, who had already said that she would step down from the premiership, was to be replaced by the only man standing in the field in the end, which was Rishi Sunak, who is now a very young and capable prime minister. But he does not appear to me to be the uniform choice of the Tory party. There seem to be elements in the party that resent the way he came to the premiership with the shortest time in the parliament ever, I believe, for someone to rise to the premiership, having taken William Hague's place, who stepped away from his Yorkshire constituency in 2015. So right. The markets have stabilized. Jeremy Hunt is now the Chancellor of the Exchequer. Does this mean that London and the pound are going to settle down, or is this what you say, the eye of the hurricane and there's more wind coming?
Well, the good news for Rishi Sunak, I suppose we should call him Rashid Sunuk, as Joe Biden did. The good news for Rishi Sunak is that I'm actually now back in the U.S. for a bit. And whenever I go to the U.K., something disastrous seems to happen or something unexpected or there's some shock, whether it's Brexit or the Queen dies or Liz Truss falls. So I'm back in the U.S. So that's may, for all I know, provide a respite. The way to understand the British political system is to think of their prime minister less as our president and more like the Speaker of the House of Representatives or the Senate Majority Leader, which is to say he's actually the leader. The prime minister is chosen by the parliamentary party, not by the country as a whole. And Liz Truss lost control of the parliamentary party that actually didn't want her in the first place. And Rishi Sunak obviously was chosen by the party to take over. But there are substantial elements within the party that are still loyal to Boris Johnson, that don't trust Rishi Sunak, that regretted that Boris didn't come back. There's actually quite a substantial body of opinion now, intelligent opinion in the UK, that says that Liz Truss, who you will remember, your listeners will remember, I was warning about her competence months and months before she was even elected, that they deliberately, the Johnson people deliberately pushed Liz Truss because they knew she would be a disaster and she would leave the door open to Boris coming back again. And Boris wanted to come back, but the parliamentary party basically said, we're not going to work with you if you try to come back. So what we have now is a situation where Rishi Sunak is obviously prime minister, has majority support of the party. But the thing is, he doesn't have unit. It's a divided party. And the second thing to understand is Rishi Sunak is not a very good politician. Or if he is a good politician, there's no evidence of it as yet. This is a guy who lost a leadership election over the summer against Liz Truss. The best way of describing Liz Truss, I think I've said it on your show, I've said it to other people, is think of a combination of Sarah Palin and Kamala Harris. She's not particularly bright and she's not politically gifted. And she somehow managed to beat Rishi Sunak. He lost to her. So he is not a very good politician. His first act as prime minister was to reappoint a highly controversial individual, Suella Braverman, to Home Secretary, which is sort of Department of Homeland Security equivalent. And in fact, probably cross of Department of Homeland Security and Attorney General. So we appointed her to this job that is in charge of law enforcement in the UK, even though she had just resigned for breaching security rules with the handling of confidential documents. So she was under a cloud. She resigned. He brought her back in a week later because she represents the right of the party. And this is sort of a deal he did, I think, to satisfy the right of the party. But it caused an enormous storm. And it meant that the first 24 or 48 hours of his prime ministership was spent essentially defending this bizarre decision. He didn't reward supporters of his that he might have done. I don't think he has very good political instincts. He seems to be humming and hawing about whether he's going to attend the COP27 climate conference. I don't have enormous confidence in Rishi Sunak's political skills. He's not a charismatic figure like, you know, Boris. Whatever you may think of Boris, he was quite good at talking himself out of jams. He was quite sort of, he had a gift of the gab. He was quite charming in his way. Even people who hated him would admit that. And he was quite charismatic. I don't think Rishi Sunak has those sort of skills. And of course, what he now has to do is essentially raise taxes and cut spending. So the next, as it were, he's probably had his honeymoon already. And now comes the tough part.
Brett Ahrens, just remember, this is Break the Glass, Brett Ahrens, where he goes, there's trouble. It's significant that he spent weeks in London with the Queen's passing, the rise of King Charles, the fall of Boris Johnson, the rise of Liz Truss, the fall of Liz Truss, and now the rise of Rishi Sunak. And now he's come home to America. We're in trouble. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.